Hi, I'm Tyra G., your host of Frankly Speaking with Tyra G. Welcome again to our virtual global gathering of phenomenal listeners. Yes, you, fearsome and generous, humble and honest, in pursuit of new possibilities and purpose. Every week we meet at this table for an hour of experience, education, encouragement, and empowerment. We share times and topics that tradition tells us there's some things we just don't talk about. But here, we live right beyond the judgment and the wreckage. We share aha moments and stories that have been left in our pockets for far too long. Every week we start right where we are. Although many of your voices will speak light into the darkness, there is no insignificant person sitting around this table. You're listening to Radio Fairfax, Fairfax, Virginia, on your TV, computer, or mobile device. And we are broadcast worldwide on the internet every Saturday night at 8 o'clock, www.radiofairfax.org. Should you miss us, no worries. Catch us where you get your podcasts. Just look for Frankly Speaking with Tyra G. Thank you so much for listening in, and thank you, Courtney Nero, for composing and performing our Frankly Speaking theme song, and for naming it, I'm Listening. I have a special treat for you today. Get ready, get ready, get ready. You know, we've been talking about, were it not for those who love us, well, that love comes in the form of legacy, in the form of a lighthouse. It keeps us going. Today, I have Courtney Nero's legacy in the office, in the studio with me, his son and his daughter, Asa and Naomi. And they brought a little music along with them, and I'm going to let them start the program off right now. What are you going to play?
We are going to play Say Something by Justin Timberlake and Chris Stapleton.
And we will tell you the meaning of all this when they finish. You're on.
Everyone knows all about my direction, and in my heart somewhere I want to go there, still I don't go there. Everybody says, say something that says something, say something that says something, say something that says something. I don't want to get caught up in the rhythm of it, but I can't help myself, no, I can't help myself, no, no. Caught up in the middle of it. No, I can't help myself. No, I can't help myself. No, no. Caught up in the rhythm of it. Maybe I'm looking for something I can't have.
Maybe I'm looking for something I can't have.
Maybe I'm looking for something I can't have.
Everyone knows all about my transgressions. Still in my heart somewhere. In melody, in harmony for you and me tonight. I hear them call my name.
Everybody says, say something that says something. Say something that says something. Say something that says something. I don't want to get caught up in the rhythm of it. But I can't help myself, no, I can't help myself, no, no. Caught up in the middle of it.
No, I can't help myself,
no, I can't help myself, no, no. Caught up in the rhythm of it.
Maybe I'm looking for something I can't have.
Maybe I'm looking for something I can't have.
Maybe I'm looking for something I can't
have. Maybe I'm looking for something I can't have.
Maybe I'm looking for something I can't have.
Maybe I'm looking for something I can't have.
Maybe I'm looking for something I can't have.
Maybe I'm looking for something I can't have. Ooh.
Sometimes the greatest way to say something is to say nothing at all. Sometimes the greatest way to say something is to say nothing at all. Sometimes the greatest way to say something is to say nothing,
but I can't help myself. No, I can't help myself. No, no.
Caught up in the middle of it.
No, I can't help myself. No, I can't help myself. No, no.
Caught up in the rhythm of it. Maybe I'm looking for something I can't have.
Maybe I'm looking for something I can't have.
Maybe I'm looking for something I can't.
Maybe I'm looking for something I can't have.
Maybe I'm looking for something I can't have.
Maybe I'm looking for something I can't have.
Maybe I'm looking for something I can't.
Maybe I'm looking for something I can't have.
Sometimes the greatest way to say something is to say nothing at all. Sometimes the greatest way to say something is to say nothing at all. Sometimes the greatest way to say something is to say nothing.
All right, all right, all right, all right. While they get situated and put on their headphones, there's a lyric that I want to hold on to and I want you to hold on to. I can't help myself. I can't help myself. And that's significant because this whole season I have been talking about were it not for those who cared. I'm going to switch the tempo and I'm going to walk into the space with Coach Author Miss Iyanna Van Sant. Today we're going to create our common thought space for our time together. What happens when you have to be the light in the darkness? When you run into someone saying, I can't help myself. Ms. Van Sant says, at night, the ocean can be a huge, dark place. When riding the seas, you can never know for sure if the water will be calm or turbulent. You can never know if you will drift off course or run aground. That's why they're lighthouses. When ships lose their way, they are guided by the lighthouse. When there is trouble or danger in the sea, you can seek refuge by the lighthouse. During a storm, the lighthouse will always guide the ships safely to shore. Best of all, there will always be someone in the lighthouse waiting. Be that someone. Be a lighthouse. Let your life be a shining symbol for others. Everything you do, be of service to someone. Stand tall in the knowledge of who you are. Stand proudly during the rough times. Be aware that who you are and what you do can be a beacon to some lost soul. Be a lighthouse keeper. Be on the lookout for lost souls. Be alert to those who may be in need and have nowhere to go. And nowhere to get there. Be a lighthouse to a child. Guide a child. Protect a child. You don't have to say much. Just let that child know you are there should the need arise. Be a lighthouse to an elder. Someone who has traveled the sea of life but now needs a bit of warmth and comfort. Perhaps a cup of tea and some interesting conversation. Be a lighthouse to a young man or woman who's lost their footing or maybe losing their direction in life. Remember, no matter what condition, a wind-blown sailor reaches the lighthouse, and the keeper is always welcoming. The lighthouse keeper always has something on hand or knows what to do to get you up and sailing again. End quote. In reality, a lighthouse shows up as a person or as people or as organizations. You know the ones who especially encourage you to keep on going when you decided to stop, who gave when you couldn't ask, who dried the track of your tears, and who said, yes, you can, when you didn't think you were enough. They have magical timing. Some stay for a season. Some stay for many seasons. Some may live in a surprising, encouraging comment that you will never forget. They leave tattoos on your heart. And sometimes that memory of these special people is like a do-over of their impact in your life. So you said, okay, Tara, I want to be a lighthouse. I want to leave a legacy. I want to encourage. Well, we've been doing that for a season. We've had examples of lighthouses, Second Story, a physical and psychological safe haven for teenagers who've been left out, or left over, or lonely. We've had guests from PRS Crisis Link, suicide prevention. And we listened to the stories they tell of those who call or text or chat online and want to give up. PRS offers them encouragement and suggestions of how to live another day. We also had a guest who serves as a lighthouse of encouragement to young people who have no clue they could be leaders and winners in the area of science, engineering, technology, math. They may hold the cure to cancer. And today, we find our lighthouse in a space called family. We're going to enjoy the stories through a lens of a brother and a sister. Yeah, you heard from them. They can sing and they can play, but where does that come from? We are going to, actually I've kind of turned the show over to them to produce. I gave them some ideas, so I can't guarantee what's going to happen. But they are and have agreed to be, each of them, a book in our human library. And today they're going to introduce one another. And let's see, who wants to start?
I'll start.
Okay, this is Ms. Naomi.
Yes, so I'm going to introduce my brother. He was born and raised in Washington, D.C., in Northern Virginia, and there are a lot of passions that make him unique. A big one, as you heard before, is music. So ever since he was young, he has had a lot of different music tastes and artists, and he's played a lot of different instruments. It always inspires me. So he has played piano, drums, he picked up guitar and bass, as you just heard him play some bass, singing, of course, and then euphonium, a lot of different things throughout elementary school. He's always trying a different instrument, and our basement is just never quiet.
Yeah, I heard you have, and this, I haven't been there, but you know, every time I see them, I'm thinking, I'm going. Apparently, they have a studio down there.
It's basically a music store. So many different instruments. It's great. So he's always been involved in music and played in multiple bands, in the Blues Alley Youth Orchestra for the past 5 years, and then also played with our church, Greater Mount Calvary Holy Church, with the youth choir, Junior Voices of Calvary. So he's played organ with them. And that's always really inspiring. It was great when we were able to do that together, because you're like inspiring other kids to be involved in music at a young age. So now he's a senior in high school, and he's getting ready to, he's applying to some colleges, doing some auditioning to study music, either jazz studies or commercial music. So I'm excited for him. So that's my brother, Asa Nero.
All right, Asa Nero. One thing I need to let everybody know, you mentioned he was born in Washington, D.C. All the other accolades and experiences we've talked about so far are Virginia, Northern Virginia, and Washington, D.C. We will travel with both Asa and Naomi throughout the show to actually internationally. So you just stay close. It's your turn, Asa.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, introducing
oh my gosh,
the large sibling, my big sister, Naomi. Born in Washington, D.C. and raised in Fairfax, Virginia. She likes the color lime green, dissecting brains and studying neuroscience. She loves fitness and exercise almost as much as she hates
watermelon. Oh my gosh. This is Asa for you.
She was the captain of the Oakton High School gymnastics team, and she's currently studying neuroscience and psychology at the University of Chicago in sunny Chicago, Illinois. She enjoys writing songs and playing the guitar and the piano. She completed 3 Spartan races this year and plans to do more. No, it's not Supergirl. It's not Dolly Parton, and it's not Oprah. It's Naomi Michelle Nero.
That's Asa in a nutshell right there.
Yeah. You know what? Does it feel like does it feel like to you like it does to me? I can just sign off now. I mean, you know, I think we have the next generation. Well, I'm not giving it up. You just get your own show because you all are both ready. Yes. Aww. So there's so much, and we decide there's no way we're going to cover all this, but we're going to give it a little bit of a try. And I wanted to start with now, what they are both doing now, and then we'll move to what in the past has influenced them to be who they are now. And then we're going to end with dreaming of where they're going to be in the future. Okay? Mm-hmm. Naomi?
Yes.
Where are you in school?
I'm at the University of Chicago. So I'm out in Chicago. I'm doing my second year of undergrad there, and I've really enjoyed it. Like Asa said, I'm studying neuroscience and psychology.
What does that mean? What?
He mentioned dissecting brains. I'm basically trying to learn how the brain works, how it influences behavior of different people. I've done a little bit of research in different labs. I did like pure neuroscience research with EEGs, but now I'm doing more behavioral research, and I'm looking to do some criminal psychology and that sort of thing. So I really enjoyed my time out there. I finally started taking classes in my major, which is exciting. So
always, yes.
I'm on my way.
But didn't you, somehow I remember something about you had an exciting job or something you were doing there?
Right. So I've been doing different research positions. So over the summer I stayed doing research. And I was doing research in gestures and what different implicit
gestures. That's what I want you to talk about. Yes, yes.
So that was really fun. Gestures and expressions, micro expressions, has always been something I'm really interested in. And so
give us an example when you say that.
Oh, so one of the things we were basically asking people to describe the social dynamics or like how society might view different social groups, and we would record them, not telling them that we're going to look at their gestures, but if they have their palms out and open, it means maybe they're more receptive, or if their palms are down, that different things. If they're saying that something's equal but one hand is higher than the other, then obviously they actually might think that something is not equal in society. So we were looking at different things like that and coding it. So it was super cool. It's a really good experience.
Now, this is scary, but you've been watching me. I'm scared, but I'm going to ask you, what do you see when you watch me in studio? Nothing negative, not you changing.
Of course not. No. I mean, I love looking at different people, and with you, you're always so welcoming. And you could see when you said that, you had your hands open and you had your hands out, and it's just like always a welcoming feeling, which is really cool. And one of the things my mom told me when I started doing this research, she was like, you can do all of this, like criminal psych, gestures, whatever. Just don't be analyzing me.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And the irony is, I'm fascinated. I am not studying. But one time we were at an event, a family friend event, and Naomi had a book.
I did.
And she had a book, and you were reading body language. Was that it?
Yes.
And we were talking about it, and I shared with her I had met a body language expert at a conference, mm-hmm. who was actually hired by major news outlets to read body language of heads of states as they reported, and I said, oh, sure, that probably happens, but in the conference it happened to her, mm-hmm. and she was amazing. And then when you showed me the book, I thought, oh, okay, I got one right here.
Yes,
that sounds so exciting.
It is. It's cool looking at how different people interact together and the behaviors of people.
You know, and I don't I want See, I told you we're not going to get very far. Okay, let's think about this. Okay, audience, you know generations communicate differently, and you know we're looking at 2.5 generations right now that were born with screens.
Right.
Okay, so we know, and I'm not giving them a bad rap. We put those things in their hands. It's not their fault. They just came here screaming, and we stay here. So my question is, your research, what you're trying to do, if you brought that into, say, just a pure millennial environment, how would you manage your research if everybody's texting?
Or screens, right. I mean, it would be a different perspective that you had to look at, maybe not necessarily with gestures. Of course, people are still interacting face-to-face.
Yes.
But also looking at, I don't know, you could look at text language. You can look at different meanings behind different sayings or something that is now being used more often because of technology.
So the trending of the sayings. Mm-hmm. So what we're looking at may be another language.
Right.
Oh, man, this is like real. Okay. All right. I'm sorry, Asa. I know. You got a lot.
She's so intelligent.
Ah, thanks.
Oh, gosh. I should have known this was going to be like we were out having coffee. I should have guessed. Okay, now I want you to talk about what you do in the summer. And then your sister said you are looking, auditioning for colleges. Now, why would you audition for colleges? Most people apply. So talk to us a little bit about what's happening with you right now.
All right, so right now I'm a senior in high school. I am auditioning for colleges because I want to study music, so my major is going to be music. My principal instrument is percussion.
Yes.
And drum set. So over the summer I went to University of North Texas and University of Miami and participated in some music programs there in jazz, and I had a great time. It was amazing.
You should see your face right now. Naomi, you saw his face, right? I mean, he is lighting up. Yeah. And I have to tell you, you know, his father's a musician, among other things he does professionally. Quite frankly, when I listen to him play, I think that's his passion, but nobody asked me. I watch his son watch him. And he's just beating on the table. Now, there is a drummer in the group, but we have a drummer in the audience that's really keeping it going, right?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. So you've gone to some summer camps, and let's pretend it's audition time. Let's pretend. What's one of the colleges you're going to audition?
University of North Texas.
Oh, you are? Okay. Yeah. All right. So what is more than the audition, what is that application process like for someone who wants to major in music?
Okay, so when it begins, it's the same as like an English major per se.
Mm-hmm.
But for the programs I'm applying to, because these are performing arts performance
based, yes.
I would submit pre-screen videos, which is me recording myself playing with a group. And then the professors at the school would review that. Uh-huh. And then following that, if they like my pre-screen videos, they invite me to audition at the school.
Awesome. It's sort of like theater.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
I had a young woman living with me for a while who was doing her master's in opera.
Oh, wow.
And she was trying to prepare for her, for the Met. And, of course, I couldn't help her with that, but by a miracle was able to arrange a backstage tour of the Met. And in doing that, saw people who were in internships and rehearsing, et cetera. And it's a very tense time. You know, she was getting ready for her recital. We're taking long walks. She's singing in German, Italian, you know, blah, 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 blah. And all I'm doing is nodding my head. But so you seem very comfortable, though. I think, you know, like it's been in you. Your sister said since forever.
Forever, yeah.
That is just marvelous. So how both of you think about how your parents have impacted your dreams?
Well, I was definitely inspired by my dad to play music. I think I've just known since forever that I wanted to play music professionally. And like from a young age, me and Naomi and my dad, we would all play like gigs together. That's just been in me from day one. And I mean, in terms of my passion, he's inspired me by like exposing us to so many kinds of music. On road trips, we'd listen to like funk and salsa and jazz and pop music, R&B, everything. Put some rock in there too. Like the exposure to all these different genres of music inspired me to want to go further and explore more.
Well, let me ask you this. When you talk about multi-genre, do you see any bleeding over? You didn't mention gospel, and I know you play that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see any bleeding over from the various genre that you might be interested in?
For sure, for sure. A lot of my mentors today they will tell me that jazz is evolving, and I primarily play jazz nowadays, but
mm-hmm.
it's become this sort of this place for genres to meet and for people to collaborate and infuse the influences that they have from all over the world. That's how you get like Afro-Cuban style,
right,
Brazilian jazz, that sort of thing.
And I love that. I do. I think for me, I'm a consumer, a music consumer. And yesterday, I was treated to dinner and Andrea Bocelli concert at the Capitol Center. And even if you don't like Italian or opera, you know, and it was multimedia. And of course, he had guests there, and he had dancers and a violinist. And I was just thinking, he went from classical classics to, he came to contemporary, and he does it all, as you know. He didn't do some of the duets that I would have required if I were producing the show, but that was okay. So, all right. Naomi, how did you get into music? Now, I happen to know that you're wonderful on piano.
Thank you.
And I also know that doesn't just happen when you sit down for an hour a day.
Right.
So what's your musical history?
Like Asa, I mean, I've always been surrounded by music. We both started taking piano lessons at a young age. I think Asa was in kindergarten, and I started the next year when I was in third grade.
Uh-huh.
And we were with the same company, mostly with the same teacher, and I continued until senior year. So that was one thing that we both, our parents kind of really wanted us to try, because I know both of them started doing piano when they were younger, but then they stopped doing it for whatever reason. So they were saying, like, if anything, we want you to learn how to play piano. There are definitely times that we both were like, oh, I don't really want to do this anymore, but I'm so happy that they had us keep on doing it, because like by the end of senior year, it's just something that I absolutely love. And I haven't really gotten to keep up with piano and music as much as I would like to in college, but it's definitely something I can always come back to, and it's a nice time.
Absolutely.
A nice thing.
Yes, you can. And when you talk about piano, my parents forced it on me for about 8 years, and I wanted to play jazz, but I had to learn classical. And finally, I guess they just said, oh, you know, I can't do this anymore. She's going to do what she wants. Bottom line, I am so sorry. I am so sorry, because I do vocalic singing and miss the piano. I miss like being able to sit at a keyboard and do things that would assist my voice.
Right.
So now I'm left to just listening. Well, that's not a bad thing, is
Never.
It?
No.
That's not a bad thing. So now, Naomi, here you are. You're an accomplished musician as well. How is that going to fit into your major in the behavioral approach? I don't know where you're going to wind up. It seems pretty broad right now.
It is broad. I mean, I have specific goals in terms of what I want to research. I don't think that music will be like my profession in any sense, but
okay.
I've really enjoyed finding ways that like I really have learned to love music for myself. And there are like some days where I'm like, I really just need to play the piano. And before it was, oh, you have to practice piano. And now it's something I want to do. And I was able to bring my guitar with me to college this year and practicing that more. And I love to sing. So starting to do some recordings on GarageBand, but it's really just been something that like I really like for myself.
Recordings on what?
GarageBand on my computer.
Okay.
So I'll do, over the summer I did a couple of those, and sometimes when I come home, Ace and I will do some together, which has been fun.
Now you said something, I've gotta go there. You two, when I first met you, by the way, I've known them for quite a while. They've gotten taller and a little bit more loquacious than when I first met them, but always a treat. You just said I went to college. Now, when I first met you, I don't think I've ever known you a time when I didn't know that you were close as brother and sister. Mm-hmm. And can entertain one another, critique one another, spar, and it's still there, the love. Let's talk about going to college and leaving your brother home. What was that like?
It was so sad. No, we're always together when I'm home. A lot of people think that we're twins because we're pretty alike, but very different at the same time.
Yes.
So when I was going off to college, they're like, wait, Asa, you're not leaving too? I always have to be like, nope, I'm 2 years older. He might be taller, but I'm older. But it was definitely an adjustment to make leaving my family in general. But like with my parents, I can always call them up. But sometimes we're both so busy, we had to find the way that we were going to keep in contact, which we've gotten a lot better about the last couple months, which is good. So it's been hard, but I'm always excited to come home because I love him. And we definitely have an energy together that's just crazy, but so fun.
Yeah, it is. It is. And, you know, probably words can't express it, but I'll bet you a dollar to a donut people can hear it in your words.
Yeah.
I bet they can. Okay, what about you? She's gone. I know. The whole house, all the attention, and all the food.
I thought I could handle it. I don't know what I was thinking, really. It was with my parents. It was like it was both of us in the house. It was just a different dynamic.
Yes.
Day to day. We went to the same high school. We both go on the bus.
Uh-huh.
It was just adjusting to those things. Like, oh, okay, I'm taking the bus by myself.
What did that feel like? Seriously. Because I'm an only child, and the two of you are so close. I'm just wondering, was there separation anxiety?
It was a little sad at first when she left. I'm also finding like more of my independence now, which helps because it's my senior year and I'm like getting ready to head off from the proverbial nest. But yeah, I mean, it was definitely something to adjust to get used to. And it's a that empty space on the calendar. It was like, oh, Naomi's doing something else this weekend. Yeah, I think it was good for me in the long run. And it's sort of like a trial run. It's like one less person I can rely on, but she's still there.
Absolutely.
Cause I can always call her and we text like every couple of days. Yeah. Just in terms of me for my, I guess, development as an individual and getting ready for that next step in my school.
It's probably important.
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm wondering, now you've gone to visit her. What was that like?
It was interesting. My parents were definitely like, oh, Naomi, it's been so long. We missed you so much.
Yeah.
It was just like, hey, kid.
We're just like, all right.
I wrote on a whiteboard in her apartment.
Yeah.
Like, all right, this is cool. Chicago. Yeah. All right.
But I got to show him around a little bit.
Yeah,
was
nice.
He was actually doing a tour for a college for two colleges out there. But there was one morning we got up early and I showed him. I live right by the lake and we went to the lake for sunrise.
Yeah.
Little things like that.
And even the art by the lake,
mm-hmm.
You know, is just, it's wonderful. I love Chicago, except it's too cold when
it's
cold.
It is cold. I've kind of gotten used to it, though.
Have you?
I have. I remember one day last school year, I texted them and I was like, I thought it was warm outside. And then I checked the temperature and it was 33 degrees. What's wrong with me? So I've gotten used to the cold.
What's your favorite thing that you do when you're at school?
Well, I did gymnastics in high school, and unfortunately, we don't have a team at UChicago. So I went back to dance, which I did when I was really, really young. So this year, I'm actually in two different dance groups, two different performance companies, and that's something that I've absolutely love. One of them is just contemporary dance, and then one of them we do jazz, contemporary, hip-hop, which I haven't done a lot of. So it's definitely a big part of my life now, and that's really fun.
So is that an outlet, or will you be performing with them? What will?
So we do perform. Rhythmic Bodies in Motion is one of the ones I'm in,
uh-huh.
And we have a spring showcase that I was in this group last year. My mom actually flew out to see my spring showcase last year, which is really cool. And then I'm also in UC Dancers, which is the contemporary group, and we also have a spring showcase. And then at the end of the year, we have this huge. It's a competition, but it's really just getting all the dance groups together and we all perform and have this big crowd, and it's really fun.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Well, okay, let's take you from home to college. What was the biggest change for you?
I think well, two of the biggest changes would be not seeing my family, because as a whole, like, my family's really close, and
yes, you are.
We see each other all the time, obviously, when I'm home. So that was a big difference. But it's nice. We've gotten the hang of things. And I can just call and say, okay, who's here? Who can I talk to? Little things like that. So that was hard to get used to. But and then also just, I mean, you're in a group with a whole bunch of new people you don't know, mm-hmm. and you have to like make a whole bunch of new friends. But it was really easy for me, and my school's good about in our housing system. We have like our houses, so all my best friends are in my house.
Oh, that's good.
And so we've gotten really close. It's cool to see how close you can get to people in such a short amount of time. But
so what's the glue? I'm thinking of college now. You know, that was the ice age. Okay, we had dorms. Mm-hmm. Until we were upperclassmen, you can make other choices. And initially, we couldn't choose our roommates because we didn't know. Very few people knew. And I can remember several transitions, only child, but that's why I chose a big college, you know, and mm-hmm. I wanted that. So what is that transition like? I bet you there's somebody, at least one person listening, that is about to go to school, leaving home, and right. perhaps leaving a sibling. How did you make new friends? What was that like?
I mean, you really just have to be open about it. Obviously, not everybody is like an extrovert and they always want to talk to people. So it's definitely putting yourself out there. You just have to be willing to say hi to new people in class, hi to people like down the hall. So it was hard at first for me. But I had a lot of people who were in my dorm who were also in classes with me.
Oh,
and,
good.
So we were just like, okay, we'll study together. And over time, you get to know people really well. And you go to the dining hall. And we're separated into houses in each dorm at UChicago. So I would go to the dining hall, and everyone from my house just hangs out at the same table. Mm-hmm. And we sit for like 40 minutes and we just talk. And so over time, you get to really know people. But you just have to put yourself out there and try a whole bunch of new things. And be willing just to meet new people.
Okay, now you used new as a word to describe the people.
Mm-hmm.
What's the demographic look like? If I walked into your house, who would I see?
I mean, in terms of demographic, there are really diverse people. So my house is co-ed. There are people from all over the world, which is one of the reasons why I chose UChicago. There are some people who are from Chicago, born and raised, always lived there. Then there are people like from the East Coast, from the West Coast. We have people from overseas, and it's really cool all the people that you get to meet because they all have different perspectives, and we like stay up late all night talking about their different experiences and their family. And so it's really cool how you're meeting so many different kinds of people.
So this is going to be the hard part. All right. Okay, big sis.
Okay.
You're going to get your brother ready for school. What would you tell him? What are you going to tell him as he, I don't know whether he's going to Texas, Florida, I don't know where he's going.
Of course.
Okay. What are you going to tell him to look out for? What are you going to tell him that's great to anticipate?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to say to him? Because I know you're going to be talking about it, right?
Yes.
Lay some knowledge on me.
Yes, I will. No. I think, I mean, obviously, I don't have any worries for him in terms of, like, he's really outgoing. He goes up to random people and he's like, hi, what's your name? And that's something that has always terrified me. So I know he's going to have so many friends and he's going to be thriving. But I think, like, the main thing is just remember, like, your family back home. Remember, like, all the things that mom and dad have taught us throughout the years, because you go out and if he stays in state or he doesn't stay in state, either way, he's away from home. And you just have to remember all the things that you've learned throughout the years that will help you have common sense and, you know, go through your classes. Remember why you're there, because you're there for education, which is always the first thing.
That's your job.
Yeah, it's your job. So just make sure you're getting everything you need to get done, but also have fun. I mean, it's 4 years that you have a whole bunch of different opportunities that your college offers you. So definitely take advantage of all of those.
Okay, so now that's sister talk. What have your parents given you to set a foundation for you stepping out without them, without your sister? How have they readied? They've been your lighthouse.
Mm-hmm.
What have they done to guide your journey to this point of success? Because that's where you are. You're successful. What did they give you?
I think one of the main things that our parents have instilled in us is a sense of respect for people, for institutions, for like just having a purpose. For the example of education, just like being in school, you respect your teachers, you respect the building that you're in, and you respect yourself in the sense that like Naomi was saying, you're there for a reason. You're there to learn, and you're gonna do that to the best of your ability. So putting your best effort, just being an ethical person.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I think that's the main thing.
I'm looking at you again as brother sister. What's your best brother sister moment that you can recall? Oh, we're going backwards.
Oh, we have so many.
Okay, you get more than one.
No, one thing we were actually talking about on the way here, there's something we started making that has collections of a whole bunch of different moments. And it's a Google Doc called Nero Family Moments. And it has, like, the most ridiculous sayings that, like, any of us have ever said. I remember Asa made it, and he was like, when you get your college roommate, I'm going to show it to her, which we actually totally forgot. But yeah, we keep on adding stuff. So
I think one time she said, my tuna fish hurts instead of my stomach hurts.
It's like
somehow
little stuff.
That, I don't know where that disconnect happened.
I don't know.
It's mostly stuff she said. It's not even my dad. It's mostly her.
But it's like, it's little funny things that we look back and we're like, oh yeah, that was a good day. Or that was really funny. And it has the date and like when we said it. So there are so many times, I don't know. We always have a good time together. I really liked when we were at church playing for the Junior Voices of Calvary, because every like two Saturdays a month we would go and rehearse. We would have to write out the music. So generally does most of the writing out of the music and practice, and then we go on stage.
So when you say writing, I'm sorry I interrupted. Yeah. Writing the music, what are you doing? Are you composing? What are you doing?
The director will email like YouTube links with the audio, and then I listen to it and write down the chords on a paper.
So you have that skill set.
Yes.
I'm just, I'm pulling it out of you. I'm pulling out. But now what I'm hearing is you actually have a family journal. And I have journals. Mm-hmm. I threw away 300 when I moved. There were certain things I just didn't want people to know about me. But this sounds so fun.
It is.
That it might be published at some point in time to bring joy to other families. But what I'm hearing you say is, who would go? Why is it all so much you, Naomi? Are you writing in things you said, or is your brother writing in things you said? How's that work?
I think it started as I was just saying, like, the most ridiculous things. And I don't know. I get really out there. It's really funny when I come home because Dad and Ace and Mom are like, oh, we haven't had, like, all this energy in one house. It's a little crazy. But I was saying just ridiculous things, and Ace is like, I'm going to write that down. And over time, we've added some other.
So he's doing the documentation.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So another thing I want to understand is what kind of adjustments would you talk about in terms of someone that was your age, either one of you or both, and you're going through life now? What are the life lessons that are forming in your mind that have caused barriers or challenges? Share some of that, because right now it sounds like, wow, this is just so good. And I know for the most part it is, but I cannot believe that things have changed so much since I was your age. There were things I really had to deal with. And so what are some of those things for you in your life?
I think something that I'm learning now was something I heard a lot going into high school, like for, I guess this is for somebody my age.
Okay.
Was that like you figure out who you want to be in college and like when you're 18 and becoming an adult.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm seeing more and more that that's something that can happen like right now in high school. You're reflecting on the influences from your parents and mm-hmm. the values that they put in you. And that's what you refer back to for the kind of person that
you
want to be.
So with that, and the kinds of things you said about your parents, have there been major conflicts you had to sit down and say, okay, this is me, this is them, this works, this doesn't, oh my God, is this a peer pressure? What? Have you found yourself having any of those moments?
I think so. I think so, and more so now than before. And it's just a lot of it is just me wanting to be on my own and sort of itching to get to that stage where, mm-hmm. like, I can drive myself somewhere and I have my license now. But just those sorts of things where it's me becoming my own person independent mm-hmm. of my parents. And mm-hmm. I'm not 18 yet. I'm still, like, in under their supervision and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But just wanting to get to that point and realizing that I still got to respect my parents and I'm still their child.
Absolutely. It'll probably be that way forever. They'll yes. still be your parents. And you, I mean, true. I think that's the true. Way it goes, right? What about you, Naomi?
I think one thing, especially going to college, like you go to college, you declare your major, and a lot of people are asking, oh, what do you want to do with your life? And I know, like, as I've gotten older, there have been a lot of different things. I'm like, oh, I want to major in this, or I want to have this job, and it's changed a lot. But at one point, I knew I wanted to major in neuroscience and psychology, and I went into college. I was like, that's what I want to do. But also knowing that things can change, and, like, it's okay for things to change. That was always something for me to learn growing up, that, like, change is okay. I was we moved, like, from one house to another, and it was, like, not that far, but I was like, oh my goodness, we're moving. I don't want anything to change. My mom is always reassuring me. She's like, it's okay. And like when you change and you're growing, but you also still have a determination still to do whatever you're setting out to do. So that's a big thing for me. Knowing that like right now I have a plan, but it's okay if my plan shifts or like whatever way God takes it. Cause obviously I don't know his entire plan for my life.
So I'm hearing, I won't call them challenges. Maybe they can go under that umbrella. Mm-hmm. Getting used to the fact that life changes from one moment to the next. And we have an acceleration of change with technology in a global world.
Right.
Okay, I'm also hearing sometimes value conflicts. I'm trying to be my own person, yet I'm not.
Right.
For whatever reasons. And that's going to change as well. And, you know, right now it may be with your parents and you, then it may be with peers and you, and then it may be with sweethearts and you. That's the way the world works. Yeah, okay, so let's flip. We've been talking about this season, Were It Not for Those Who Care. And I think what I've heard from this, it took a different twist for me, is you two have been there for one another. You have cared. Your parents have cared. So you have a womb, a culture, a foundation. Seeds have been planted to show you how to be successful and to walk through the minefields of life. What would you say to someone that wasn't blessed with those seeds and it was time for harvest and they didn't have all the richness of the soil of all the things? What would you say to them to encourage them or what? What would you say to someone? You can just think of one person, visualize one person and talk to that person. What would you say to them to help them say over a difficult moment or season?
I'd say draw what you can from the people you know you can trust.
Okay.
So your good friends and your family and you know, the folks that care about you the same way that you care about them.
Okay. So I'm hearing trust.
Yes, ma'am.
And we all know that's the foundation, right?
Right.
How about you, Naomi?
I mean, I would say not only trust in the people around you, but obviously, like, our parents instilled like faith, and Christianity is just something we've been brought up and grown to know on our own. So it's really important that you're also trusting God, because, like, we know that life isn't going to be easy, and you didn't tell
right.
us that it was.
Right.
But no matter what, we're supposed to still have faith in him that he has a plan for our life and that he's going to get us through. And then also just be determined and have hope.
Hope. Yes. I heard a sermon on hope recently, and it was, you know, not knowing so much. You don't have to know what to do or how to do it, but you need to know who mm-hmm. will get you through doing it.
That's right.
Okay, it's 5 years from now. Dream. Where are you, Asa? What are you doing?
I am graduated from a university somewhere by the grace of God. I am doing recording work. I want to record music with artists. And I'd like to tour. So maybe I'll have some projects out by then. And then I'll be on a tour with a group, you know, playing music around the country, around the world.
Around the world.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's not so hard anymore, is it?
That's right. That's right.
Okay, Naomi, 5 years.
5 years. I hopefully will still be in school. I have 2 more years of undergrad, or 2.5 more years of undergrad, and then I want to go straight into a PhD program for mm-hmm. research. And mm-hmm. the term is psychopathy.
Yes.
But it's basically criminal psychology and the behavior of criminals, why they do what they do. So I want to do a lot of research in that sense, and then maybe eventually work in the government as an investigator, special agent in one of the agencies. So we'll see where it takes me.
Oh, so you might be in Quantico. Okay, gotcha. Gotcha. Okay, I ask you two to do something for me.
Yes.
As homework, and everybody gets to do it, so I'm not picking on you. I ask them to write letters. And to read those letters to us now, who wants to start?
I can start?
Sure, you can start.
All right. This is my letter to myself. Ace, you absolute buffoon. You got some stuff to figure out. You're going to make some good decisions, and you're going to make a lot of bad decisions. Hopefully, this will help out a bit. Talk through conflicts, being up front with folks goes a long way. And it's usually more effective than avoiding the problem. Be open to new ideas, but don't forget your values. Holding fast to your principles can make you seem old-fashioned, but it'll help you get out of trouble in the long run. Don't grow up too quick. As life goes on, you'll find yourself exhausted pretty often, but keep looking for the bright side in everything. Find your herd of constructive buddies. As Christian rap artist Toby Mac once said, you become who you hang out with. And that's the truth. Never stop caring, be honest and upstanding in anything you try to take on, and go about doing it the right way. Look to God for guidance and ask for help when you need it. Keep your head in the Word and your eyes open wide. Don't ever forget that you're blessed to live in America and to have such a loving and encouraging family.
All right. I like that herd. You know, I've been using tribe, but heard of good friends.
Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
Naomi?
Dear young Naomi, you have come so far. Looking back on 19 years of life, there have been several ups and downs, but I'm here to say you not only made it, but you're thriving. Don't forget all the people who will always support you, because you're never alone. Always be determined and don't let anything or anyone hold you back. Surround yourself with people who challenge you and strengthen you and keep you accountable, not people who don't respect you or realize the amazing person you are. You have so many dreams to share with the world. Never doubt yourself or think your dreams are too big, because if you believe in God and in yourself, you can conquer anything. But also remember, your dreams now can change, and change is okay. Embrace the change. You will not always be in control, but God is, and in the end, you'll look back and see unimaginable growth, new beginnings, and future opportunities. Lastly, hold on to the joy you receive through the little things in life, the happiness you're filled with when you see a beautiful sunset, when you dance, when you sing, or when you hear the chord change in a song that gives you the chills. Never let your curiosity die, the curiosity that draws you to science, that pushes you to try new things and meet new people, and makes you determined to run yet another Spartan race. Because your joy, curiosity, and determination will take you to places you didn't even know existed. The best is yet to come. Believe in yourself and trust God.
Oh, my goodness. That is so wonderful, insightful, encouraging, empowering, both of you. This is, this is my heart smiling. I have enjoyed our time together. You out there listening, this is our future you've been listening to. Yeah, I feel safer now. I feel hopeful now. You've been listening to Asa and Naomi Nero. They are students. They are siblings. They are children. They are hopeful. They are faithful. They're beautiful spirits. I'm grateful. I love this show. I love it. I see, frankly speaking, with Tyra G as a space and a time to help and to heal and to encourage one another. It brings me joy. And I try to fill a spiritual doggy bag that speaks to the audience that I'm trying to reach. And because my guests have been young, I found some words that I truly love. And they are from a gospel singer's repertoire, Yolanda Adams. And the name of the song is "What About the Children?" It reads, "Tears streaming down her heart. Her heart is broken because her life is hurting. So am I. He wears a frown. His dreams are choking. And because he stands alone, his dreams will die. So humbly, I come to you and I say, as I sound aloud the warfare of today, hear me, I pray. What about the children? To ignore is so easy. So many important children would choose the wrong way. What about the children? Remember when we were children? And were it not for those who cared enough to show us, where would we be today? Sir, where is your son? Where lies his refuge? And if he can't come to you, where can he turn? Such a foolish girl, yet still, she's your daughter. And if you will just reminisce your days of young, you'll see. If it had not been for those who cared about us, where would you be today? What about the children? This is Tyra G. You've been listening to Radio Fairfax, Fairfax, Virginia, on your TV, mobile device, or computer. And again, we are broadcast worldwide every Saturday night, 8 o'clock. Your seat at the table is guaranteed. I am here for you. I can't wait until next time. And until then, I want you to treat yourself like someone you love, because I love you. Until the next time, stay well.